What's up, everybody? Welcome to Street Level Floppies, Episode 6. This is a show where we highlight creator-owned books, the smaller publishers, and imprint titles. My name is Andrew. I will be hosting tonight. And today I am joined by my co-host, Fred Reads Comics. Say hi, Fred.
What's up, everyone?
Yes, Chris couldn't make it this evening. He had other engagements, so it's just the two of us running the show. I think we'll be okay. We'll be able to pull it off. What do you think, Fred?
I think so.
All right. Well, as I said, we like to do creator-owned comics, independent comics, small publishers, and imprint titles. And we are sponsored and members of the Nation of Nerds, and we like to educate, introduce you, and entertain you as we introduce you to some new books. So to get the show started off, we're going to go over a couple of comic book announcements that dropped this week, things that comic book fans might be excited about or talking about, or there's a bit of buzz, some new books with some new creative teams that have us excited. The first one is the Killmonger book. So Eric Killmonger, a character that you all fell in love with in the Black Panther movie, who's been around for a while in comics, is getting a 5-part miniseries that will focus on the fall of the Black Panther villain. It is being written by Brian Edward Hill and drawn by Juan Ferreira. Fred, what do you think about this announcement?
I'm super excited about this book, mainly because Brian Edward Hill, if you've been listening to the show, then you know how much of a fanboy of Mr. Hill I am. I'm also excited because I've heard that it's going to be Eric outside of Wakanda, kind of dealing with things, and he's the only aspect of Wakanda in this book, if I'm correct.
I'm not 100% sure on that, but it sounds right, yeah.
So yeah. That's pretty exciting to me.
I'm excited, too. It's funny, I normally would not be excited for this book, because I was telling you, I'm not a fan of spinoffs from movies. Sometimes they just don't quite hit the mark as a comic book. You know, they feel like a commercial for the movie. But this is Brian Edward Hill, and so I have to buy this because everything he's been writing lately has been on the mark, you know? So I'm in. So I like you, I'm excited. I think the character is very interesting. I like the fact that it's a 5-part. I don't think there's enough story there for a full run, you know, for it to turn this into a monthly, but I think there's a great story to be told in 5 issues, without a doubt.
Yeah, especially like coming off the movie, like what Brian Edward Hill can do because he's worked in Hollywood. I'm sure he's going to take that aspect and throw it into the book to make Killmonger like even bigger character. I mean, because the movie, if it's anything like the movie, then wow, I'm definitely in for that. I want to see like his struggles with like growing up and not being accepted, things like that. That's going to be huge for me.
Yeah, I agree. That's going to be a lot of fun, and it's been added to the list, without a doubt.
Yeah, put it on the poll.
Yep, has to be there. So another announcement is something smaller, but the next Batman annual that's coming out is going to be written by Tom Taylor, art by Otto Schmidt, and there's going to be a great-looking cover done by Brian Hitch. So we're finally going to get the other Tom on a Batman book. What's really interesting about this book is it's going to be told from the perspective of Alfred. So it's Alfred's perspective of some of Batman's missions, and we're going to see him through his eyes. I think it's a neat way to tell a Batman story. I'm excited because it's Tom Taylor, and you know, a lot of his books are ending right now, so it's like, well, what's Tom Taylor going to do? And you know, we all hoped he'd get a Batman book, but they're kind of booked right now. So they slipped him in for the annual, so awesome. What do you think?
Well, I can't think of the book right offhand, but I know that Tom Taylor did a book for the, was it New 52 Batman run, that he did like a couple of story arcs?
Yeah, he might have even done an annual for that, thinking back.
Yeah, and it was done really well. I just like his writing. I like what he's done with X-Men Red. I've read some of the Injustice stuff, but I'm not too much of a gamer, so that's not my thing. But oh, X-Men Red, in my opinion, X-Men Red was or still is the best X-Men book. I like what he's done there. I'm interested to see, like, if it's told through Alfred's eyes. It's interesting because Alfred's kind of like a father figure, so I want to see what he's thinking. See how he feels.
You got to get on Injustice. It's more than just the video game. It's a hell of a run. Just start with the first graphic novel of the first series of Injustice, and you won't be disappointed. I mean, you just like his writing, so. Right. It's an Elseworld, so you have to accept it. Like, people that are good are bad, and people that are bad are good, and some strange, you know, alliances and things. But it's so well written that you'll fall right into it. You'll be hooked. I promise you.
Okay. So I can tell my wife to email you when she sees me ordering other more comic books.
Yeah, well, you're going to go trades, so you're going to even be spending more money than just comic books. You're going to be loading up on a big old pile, probably a whole shelf worth, to be honest.
Yeah,
you get involved the first and the second
one. Right, because didn't he have like a 2-year run?
Yeah, so it's called Injustice 1, and then you have Injustice 2, which he's just wrapping up. So yeah, wow. you're going to be a nice pile. I have the first 5 of 1, I believe. And I slowly add to it when I have a chance. When a slow week at the shop, I add another one when I can. It's a great series. Yeah, okay. Well, that's the comic book announcements for this week. So we're going to go right into our comic book reviews. And we have 5 great books that we enjoyed this week. Heavy on the Image. You know, Image was big this week. You know, they usually are, but they definitely had some books that we enjoyed. So our first book is Coyotes No. 6. Seth and his brothers are reunited, and they have Red and the Victorians in their sights. As the women try to build a new sanctuary for innocent girls, their ancient nemesis returns with a taste for blood. Written by Sean Lewis. Art, cover, colors, letters, everything beautiful by Caitlin Yazinski. And it's published by Image. This is Coyotes. Fred, what'd you think of Coyotes this week?
Well, the solicit that you read pretty much sums up the book, but let's talk about what's really great in this book. First off, the art in this book by Caitlin Yarsky is phenomenal, to say the least. I mean, I would have to break out my thesaurus to find some better words to describe it, but it's really nice. I feel like she captures like the desert and the personalities of each character in the art as, you know, Sean Lewis writes these characters. And one character that I'm really into, I think we said this, we were chatting, and I would call her the George Burns of the grandmas. She captures her personality, her facial expressions, really well. I really like it. And, I guess I should clarify the reason why I call her the George Burns of the grandmas is because she's rocking the cigar. She's granny smoking the cigar. And there's one panel that she drew that the granny blows the smoke, and the smoke, it turns into like the wolf. Which was absolutely beautiful. I thought that was really good. I really like this book. I really like the personalities of the grandmas, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's talking about, like, you know, you're going to hear on podcasts that they're going to be talking about the Batwang. Well, Granny makes fun of the man region of character Coffee in here quite a bit, too. That's... She doesn't have the same thing. He obviously does not have the bat wang. And if you read this, you'll know what I'm talking about.
and she implores them to leave room for the Holy Ghost, remember? Yeah, this book was amazing. The dialogue is minimal, but it still gets the story across very well. And the art, like you said, is fantastic. There was a scene, couple of panels where one of the coyote spirits, the wolves that are attacking these women, is a fire coyote, and this coyote is burning down a whole village. And just the art of the like sparks coming off this wolf as it engulfs everything in flames just was gorgeous. And it's a terrific scene because people are dying, but at the same time you have to stop and just look at it in awe, like, wow, this is beautiful looking. And like you, the grannies are great. Our young female characters are starting to really build their character a little more. and I'm interested to see where they go next. I don't know how many more issues this is going. Is it going to be another four and done like the last one? Because it seems like we're racing to the end here. But
yeah, I'm not sure about that, but you may think that because what happened to the grannies in this issue leads me to believe that maybe it does wrap up. I'm not quite sure. There's some serious happenings that happen there. We don't want to spoil it, but yeah. Also, like going on to like the art, another good thing in this book is the lettering. Like when the wolves or the coyotes are speaking, the way that the letters are drawn kind of makes you feel, you know, like it sells it more. Like this whole team on this book is done. It's done so well.
The thing is, you say the whole team, but it's Caitlin Yerzynski. You know, she's doing the colors, she's doing the letters, she's doing the art. You know, unless Sean Lewis is doing letters, but it doesn't say that anywhere.
No, I think you're right. I think it is her because Sean Lewis, I had tweeted in something and I think he said something to the fact that, you know, she should win an Eisner. Mm-hmm. And I agree with him. I mean, you need to pick up this book. It just for the art alone, I pick it up also because Sean Lewis, I like Clan Killers. I like the Saints books that he's done. I like his style, but mm-hmm. Man, this is really, really a good book.
Yeah. Sean does a wonderful job with this book. I mean, like I said, the dialogue is minimal, but it's written in a way to get the story across and allow the artist to shine and tell this story with art. We have another book later on coming up that, as a matter of fact, it's next, that the same thing happens. We have a great writer who allows his artist to really shine. So if you were going to score Coyotes, Fred, what would you give it?
For this issue, I would give it a 3.5 just because of the lack of dialogue in this book. But because the art, man, this is, I can't wait to see what happens next. This beautiful book, and I would hate to see it go away that fast.
Yeah, I'll go about a 3.5 as well. It's on its own, you know, you might be like, wow, not a lot happened in this book. I don't quite understand what's going on completely. You know, you do have to have read the other books, but just, it's a beautiful looking book. The color palette, everything about it. I love getting this book every week. It's a joy to read. Okay. So let's move on to our next book, Death or Glory, number 5. Glory has what she needs to save her dad Red's life. But in the process, she's ticked off literally every criminal organization, the cops, and a few psycho killers to boot. The road to freedom is wide, but it's paved with corpse of the foolhardy. Written by Rick Remender, art and cover by Bengal. Colorist Sebastian Gierner, letters by Russ Wooten, variant cover by Raphael Albuquerque, published by Image, Death or Glory. All right, this book has been fantastic. Another book that the artist is just killing it, you know, from panel to panel. And what I really like about Death or Glory is its ability to capture speed. Because there's a lot of car chases. There's a lot of scenes that involve fast cars. And it just, you feel it. You feel that energy. You feel that excitement. You feel that tension of the cars. And then the characters are so well written. The bad guys are defined. We have this, you know, we have Glory. She's trying to save her stepfather, Red. I believe he's her stepfather. I'm not sure if he's a real father. Maybe he is. And then she finally has what she needs. She has the organ because he needs an organ transplant. I believe it's the liver. And it just keeps going. You know, nothing. This book doesn't slow down for a second to allow you to kind of catch up and have a lull. It's like it gets right into the, like, just as you think they're safe, they're not safe. And then the next thing, and they're back in those cars and they're hauling ass again. So, and those last panels, the way this book ended, just beautiful looking book. Fred, what do you think?
I think you're right. I mean, this book is really fast paced. It's so fast paced that you never want to pump the brakes. You just want to keep going. I love this book. I've been a fan of Rick Remender's work since like his Uncanny X-Force run, which is one of probably my favorite books, but this one's slowly creeping up there. To me, the way that he writes panel for panel is this is ready to go to Netflix or to go to a movie. Like, it, the storyboard's there. Somebody just needs to take it. It's great. I love the character progression. I love the intense scene where the house was kind of on fire. That was that was good, because I've never seen anybody get hit with a frying pan like that since like The Sopranos. That was great. I was like, oh wow, just took him out. But I mean, like Bingo's art alone, like in those chase scenes that you speak of, it captivates you. You don't even have to look at the words. You can just watch it going, and you see like the convoys and the luchador mask, and you see like the Amish looking ladies there. I mean, this book has it all. It has everything. I really like this book. It's so well done.
Yeah, it kind of has a little bit of a Breaking Bad feel to me, like these characters, you know, that are they're dangerous and they're evil, but they're also kind of outlandish at times, you know. Right. Like some of the hitmen that came up from Mexico in some of the early seasons of Breaking Bad. That's what the luchadors remind me of a little bit. And yeah, I mean, that fire that you're talking about, that grease fire, that gave me anxiety. I couldn't even concentrate on the panels. I was like, that fire's getting bigger. That fire's getting bigger. Someone going to get that kid out of there? Where's that kidney? It's going to get burnt. And then what? Then they can't save. And then how are they going to get Red out of there? He's incapacitated. Right. So I was like getting really anxious with that. It was building up some great tension. Such a great book. And you're right. It's tailor-made for television. Someone could do something with it. Glory would be an extremely popular character if you get the right actress. I've told you my daughter wants a cosplayer for the con that we have coming up.
I'm sure a lot of girls are like, if they take the chance and, you know, read this book, because this book gives you somebody to fight for, to root for, just what she does for her father to, like, you know, for the liver to, I mean, you know, she said it in the first original book. I remember the panel. I can't remember word for word, but she said like they were denied insurance and things like that. And that's real. That's real life problems. Mm-hmm. And to see her fight for that and stuff, that's, I mean, what would you do if you were in that situation? Yeah. She's the hero that some people want to see.
Oh yeah. That message is woven in there. Really well done. It doesn't hit you over the head. They don't have insurance. The bad guys are harvesting organs illegally and selling them for profit. That whole thing and the desperation that someone would go to save their loved one and get a hold of an organ so their loved one wouldn't die. It creates a desperate situation. And I'm excited for the next one. I mean, we're full on. It's like you said, it's a convoy. We're on a road trip. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I expect more.
Yeah, and with like Rick Remender writing any book he does captivates me. So it's every book he's done ends up being a TV show, or it has a chance to be a TV show. Like you mentioned, Deadly Class, The Low. I think The Low is supposed to be a show soon, or they're working on it. I mean, this one should be there right now. Call Zack Snyder. He's got the storyboards right here. Let's get it done.
Zack might mess it up. He might make it too dark. Okay, don't send the hate at me, BBS. I'm just teasing. Gosh, Deadpool style tease. So if you were going to score Death or Glory, what would you give it?
This would be, since I think the Border Town, I think, was my first five, I'm going to give this book a five as well, just because it's so well done. I don't throw out a lot of fives. I hardly give any four and a halves. I'm giving this one a five just because how it's woven into the other books. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great book. I'm going to go a little lower. I'm going to give it a four. To me, it's not a five book, but it's probably one of the best books I've read this week. If you're not reading this book, jump on top of it. I mean, I'm figuring we're going to hit trade pretty soon, so you might want to maybe hold off just a touch to grab trade. But it's so, yeah. I mean, I can't see wrong. You could just sit there and look at the covers and you'll be happy. It's a great looking book to have on your shelf. All right. Let's move on to the next book. Ice Cream Man number 7. My Little Poltergeist. Another sullen sequential short. Here's a little girl's best friend. No, here a little girl's best friend comes back from the dead. Or does she? It's Hard to Say, Ghosts Being an Unreliable Sort. Written by W. Maxwell Prince, art and cover Martin Morazzo, colorist Chris O'Halloran, letters by Good Old Neon, variant cover Fabio Moon, designed by Ashley Walker, published by Image. Ice Cream Man, Fred, what'd you think of Ice Cream Man?
Ice Cream Man is quickly becoming one of my favorite books in comics. To me, in my opinion, this book has like an old school horror vibe. And by old school horror vibe, I mean like a Freddy Krueger, maybe like a Leprechaun kind of feel. I also think that it's kind of a little Twilight Zone-y as well, especially if you read like the other issues, how these stories are told. But this issue focuses on like a 9-year-old girl named Lucy and her imaginary friend. Lucy needs to come to terms with the death of her best friend who died of bone cancer, I think it was. She talks to her friend when she's not there, if she's on the swing set, if she's at the dinner table, they set a place for her and she talks to her friend that's not there, which causes her parents to be pretty distraught. This is an intense book because, in my home, we deal with, you know, certain types of issues health-wise with one of my kids. So like I could see these type of things happening in a family, so I can see it. But Lucy, she gets lured further in this book by the Ice Cream Man to a shack. And she sees and learns some disturbing things. And I think there was a picture of a peeler and a guy who had no skin that was pretty intense.
Oh, yeah.
By intense, like the art that Morazzo does in this book, and the facial, like the expressions on everyone's face are amazing. I just really like his art, like with this book or She Could Fly. He does such a good job. I mean, what did you think about this book, Andrew?
Wow, this book was really neat. I came to this book having read none of them. So I picked up the trade and then I read the last issue and this issue to build up. And your description of Twilight Zone was perfect. Each issue was its own thing, especially the first four or five. You know, I feel like with the introduction of this new character, I don't know if he's a cowboy or what he is. Now we have a thread. Besides the Ice Cream Man, we have a thread because the Ice Cream Man has somebody who's his rival. So it adds a different dimension to it. But this particular book was really scary. Whenever you're dealing with kids who are talking to imaginary friends that they see but their parents don't, you always know this is going to go somewhere scary. You know, we've all seen that movie, that Twilight Zone episode or whatever, where that happens, or where the kid has an imaginary friend they talk to that's not really an imaginary friend. It's something
right.
else.
Right. Like what was that movie? Is it Poltergeist, where they're like, they're here? It kind of has that feel to me too.
Mm-hmm. Like that. Yeah. Different, yeah. I mean, all kinds of things. You know, The Shining when he's talking to his finger. I mean, there's just all these different things. He's talking to a spirit, and so that was frightening. And then, you know, as the Ice Cream Man is about to, you know, hurt this little girl, then we have this new character that's been introduced that who's now basically put the Ice Cream Man on notice that he's not going to be able to torment this town because he's basically tormenting a town, and that's why you get all these little stories about different people in the town. That's basically the series. It's a lot of fun. I mean, if you like horror and you like self-contained short horror stories, this is a book for you. While there is a thread, maybe like, say, Tales from the Crypt, where you have the Crypt Keeper threading through it, like keeping everything together. But they're still their own individual story. And I can't recommend it more. If you're a horror fan, you're going to love it. The art is great. It's scary. Yeah, great book.
Yeah, I'm with you. The only thing that if you don't like horror, or if you're lactose intolerant, then you probably shouldn't pick up this book.
Yeah, there's a lot of ice cream. It may make you not like ice cream. That's the only thing that might be negative about this book. You may be scared.
It's
to get
true
ice cream
because the other day I was at the back porch and I was by the swimming pool and I heard the ice cream coming. the ice cream man still comes through our neighborhood, and I heard the music, and all I could think was this book, and I told my kids, I'll just go to the store for them.
Yeah, I'll just go buy you a box of fudgicles and Rocket Pops. Yeah, we're not going to do that. All right, so if you're going to score Ice Cream Man, what would you give it?
I'll give this book a 4. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the series. I'm not really a horror fan, but for some reason, ever since I started reading like Colin Bunn books, I've liked a lot of horror. And this is definitely, like, other than like books written by him, this is another, you know, good title that if you like Colin Bunn, you should probably check this out.
Yeah, good book, good book. All right, our next book is Skyward Number 6. Here They Be Dragonflies, Part 1. Now a fugitive, thanks to her fight with Barrow, Will is forced to flee Chicago. What does the rest of this low-G world look like? What terrifying surprises will she face? Written by Joe Henderson. Art and cover by Lee Garbett. Colorist Antonio Fabella. Letters by Simon Boland. Editor Rick Lopez Jr. Published by Image Skyward. This is a great place for people who have been not grabbing Skyward to jump on. It's a brand new arc. Also, the first trade dropped the same week. So you could get the trade, be caught up, and then go right into number 6, into this second arc. I think this is one of the best books out right now. It is so well written. There is nothing wasted. I don't feel like there's filler panels. I don't feel like there's filler issues. I'm attracted to the story. I really dig the father-daughter story that threads throughout this. We had a very impactful moment in the issue before this involving our lead character and her father. And then there's many moments in this book that flash back to that through other people to keep reminding you about that, what happened in the book before about the father-daughter. And it was, you know, still a little emotional from the one before. And the introduction of the dragonflies, pretty frightening. Pretty interesting. And if you haven't read Skyward, it's basically now the world no longer has gravity. So if someone were to be outside, they would float away into space to die and never come back. So they have to use gravity boots. They have to tether themselves with ropes. There's all kinds of different things that people do to make sure. And this train breaks down in the middle of nowhere. And so to go out of the train, if they get past the tree line, they're gone. They're going up in the air forever. So I really can't recommend this book more. It's one of my favorite books right now. It's so good looking. It's such a great book. Lee Gabbert draws it beautifully. If I could draw a book, this is how I would draw a book. Yeah, one of my favorites, without a doubt. Fred?
I'm right there with you, especially after like the heart-wrenching ending in the last issue. Mm-hmm. This one picks up from there, and you kind of didn't want to relive it, but you kind of do with the dialogue and how this book moves along. But what I like about this issue is that how determined Willa is to fix the world, and you can see it. It's going to be there. I think they said that this book's supposed to go 14 issues. Long. What book is this?
This is barely 6. So this is barely the second arc. This is the first book of the second arc.
Yeah, so we still have some... There's going to be a lot of things happening, and which makes me excited because, man, I really like this book, whether it's like the art, the story, even the colors by Fabella. I like it all. Like this is a total package. If you're going to jump onto any book in creator-owned, this is... probably the first book I would suggest to any person that's never read a creator-owned book. It's done that well.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about this book. We have a young female woman of color who's our lead. Like I said, we have this father-daughter story. This is an incredibly interesting idea and concept. What would we do without gravity? It's a touch violent. You know, it's definitely not a happy-go-lucky. I mean, there's been some death. There's been some violent events that have happened in it. Our bad guy, Barrow, is you know, a person that's profited off of the world not having gravity. And the last thing he wants is for gravity to come back, because then he's not making money. So he's the evil corporate guy that'll do anything. Yeah, I mean, grab a hold of this book. This is supposedly an option for a TV series, and I can see it. The dialogue is just outstanding. Like I said, I don't read this book and feel like something doesn't fit. I constantly read this book and it just flows. And next thing you know, you're done. And you're like, really? I can't be done already. And now I got to wait a whole month. Yeah, this book just flies.
Right. And then, like, this issue, you have to worry about, like, what's going to happen with the dragonflies? Like, that's a new, like, twist.
Yeah. Who would?
Like, that was crazy. It's kind of freaky, because to think about, like, dragonflies, you know, you see them in your backyard and stuff, but to see them that big, whoa.
I mean, what an idea. I mean, they're carnivores. And so,
right.
Yeah, that they're not little dragonflies. Yeah. Pretty cool.
That's kind of,
I didn't expect that.
Scary.
That caught me off guard. That was a surprise I didn't expect. So, yeah, we're left in a good place for the next issue. So if you're going to score Skyward 6, what would you give it?
I would give this book a 4.5 this issue.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Very cool. I myself would give it a 4.5. I told you I'm a big fan of this book. It's a jumping on point. It's also the start of the next arc, but I still think it did well as its own self-contained story. There is that kind of pull at your strings moment watching another father and daughter to kind of remind you of our lead character. So, yeah, there's a lot to like. So, Skyward, pick it up. Check it out.
Go get it.
So, our last book of the night is Black Badge number 2. While on a mission to locate political prisoners in Siberia, the Black Badge team meets another group of young operatives who call themselves the Mounties. With the mission on the line, will they be able to work with this other team, or will the two teams turn on one another? Written by Matt Kent. Illustrated by Tyler Jenkins. Colorist Hillary Jenkins. Letters by Jim Campbell. Cover artist Matt Kent. Variant cover Tyler Jenkins and Hillary Jenkins. Published by Boom. Black Badge. What'd you think of Black Badge?
Okay, the first issue of Black Badge really intrigued me. There's something about, like, Boy Scouts doing special ops missions that's very interesting, very intriguing. It's a nice concept. It's also scary because, you know, my kids are that age. I don't want to be in fear of them, but this is a book. I think this book was a decent read, but I did like in this book, because this issue took place in Siberia, and they went from Korea. And Kent kind of throws shade at himself in this book and says, I think the words were like in how he went from a flip of a page and they went from Seoul to Siberia. He does it in like one of the first couple of panels in this book, which I thought was a nice touch, because, you know, what's better than making fun of yourself before somebody else does? Yeah. You know, that's the way to get out of the heat. Now, the introduction with, like, the Canadian kids and the Overwatch, Scout Overwatch, or, like, the kids refer to them as the Mounties, I thought that was kind of nice. I'm intrigued to find out what they're there for, but I really felt like this was, like, a filler issue to move the story along. I did like a part in this book. I forgot the characters. Oh, the characters' names, like, Mitz. They shoot like a tiger with an arrow, and then they were describing a story later on. And she basically did, or he basically told the story of Pippi Longstocking. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned that. So I thought that was a nice touch. I think this is a fun book. It's a Boom book. It's a fun book. It's a Matt Kent book. And if you like Valiant, then you probably like Matt Kent. So this, to me, this was it's an interesting read. I'll continue to get this book. How about you, Andrew?
Yeah, I liked it. I think it wasn't quite a filler issue, because I think you're missing, they gave us two interesting things. They kind of hinted at that maybe the team themselves are responsible for the death of their former member, because the team has a new member, and this new member doesn't come from like a special ops background. He just happens to be the best scout that ever lived. You know, he completed every single badge, so they recruited him to be part of this team, and the rest of the team treats him pretty poorly, actually. I told you in that first pitch I wanted to punch a couple of those little kids. But
no, he's just saying that he doesn't really want to punch little kids.
I know.
That's just a figure of speech. Let's clear that.
Do not take me seriously. But yeah, they were bratty little. I mean, they're that whole thing about the Lord of the Rings, about you're the ring, you're the burden. Yeah, that's pretty messed up. But the Mounties also suggest that this team is out of control. That's why the Mounties are there, to keep an eye on them. That the Black Badge team is just kind of like, they're rogue. They do their own thing, and they are reckless, and they don't care if people, there's carnage or death or destruction and whatever they do. So I think there's a good story still waiting to come there, that we may have a team that's about to go off kilter. And then we have this one kid who has still a good kid that hasn't been corrupted by this stuff yet. And what's going to happen? So, yeah, it was a good book. I like it. It wasn't my favorite book of the week, but it's a nice concept. And the idea of scouts being more than scouts. So
the point that you made, like that they, you know, kind of picked on that kid and things like that, makes me believe that if I'm writing this book, at the end, when this series is over, that kid's the hero. They're going to make him the hero, because that's what you do. So that's going to be interesting. I'm going to, like in the issue 3, I'm going to, you know, kind of zoom in on that and see if the progression starts, because I'm sure if that's the thought process, then we should see
it. Yeah, we should start seeing something as he starts asserting himself more. I think that's what we're going to have. We're going to have that moment where this kid starts asserting himself, where he doesn't just accept their crazy choices, and he starts maybe standing up to somebody. And of course, we'll see how that goes, because they're not very nice guys. But it's a good book. The art's interesting. It's a definitely unique style of art. Kent does the cover. I mean, if anyone knows Matt Kent, he's also a illustrator and an artist as well as a writer. So it's pretty neat. Yeah. You know, if you're going to score this book, what would you give it?
Well, let me say this one last thing. Now, with this book, it's $3.99, so it's not like $20 that the Boy Scouts at your grocery store are selling the bag of popcorn there. So with that in mind, I'm going to give this book a 3.5.
You're kind to the Boy Scouts. I'm going to give this book a 3. The concept's good. It still hasn't grabbed me enough for me to jump on. I'll probably read the next one, because I do want to know where it goes, but it's a hard to recommend for me, but it's a good, you know, it's a good book. So, you know, it's a Matt Kent book, and we decided this week to talk a little bit about Matt Kent for our creator spotlight. Matt's done a lot of stuff. He's worked for Marvel. He's done a lot of creator-owned stuff. He's an illustrator. He's a graphic designer. And he's a very good writer. And Fred, what do you have on Matt Kent?
I know that Matt Kent was born in 1973, I believe. Is that? No. Or is it 5? I can't make out my writing right now. So I think it's 3. But okay. He's an American comic book writer, artist, and graphic designer. Born in, is it Chicago, New York? But he currently resides in Webster Groves, Missouri. He worked in like local mini comic scene at a young age. He self-published his own copy shop Zines. I think since 1990, the source said.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1995, he obtained a degree in art from Webster University in St. Louis. And then he started making books. I think the first company he worked for was Top Shelf Production. Mm-hmm. He did a book called Pistol Whip in 2001. He did one like Super Spy. I have a few more things, but do you have anything you wanted to add?
He likes the spy genre, so he does a lot of books in that genre. He's done, most of his stuff has been spies. What I know him mostly for is his Valiant stuff. I don't know him as much for his Marvel work or some of his other earlier work. But to me, Valiant, he's the Jeff Johns or the Brian Michael Bendis of the Valiant universe. He's the one that really ushered this new era of Valiant, I believe. But no disrespect to those that came before him that laid a lot of foundations for a lot of the books. I mean, he's written Unity. He's written Exo Man of War. He's written Ninjak. He's written Ra. He just finished doing the Harbinger Wars. He has his finger on all the different characters, and how they're being written and how they're being portrayed has been influenced by him. I mean, if you like modern Valiant, you have to be a Matt Kent fan. It's almost impossible not to be a Matt Kent fan because he has touched it all. And he's written all of the stories from the sci-fi to the cosmic to the, you know, the ninjas to the, you know, the spies to whatever you want to say, you know, team books. And I love Valiant. We've talked about that before in the past. And I just couldn't see him leaving. If he leaves Valiant, I don't know what's going to happen.
And I know he did, like, him and Jeff Lemire, I think, are pretty good friends because they worked on Sweet Tooth together. I think he did a little bit of art for Jeff Lemire on that. I think it was like issue 26 through 28 or something like that.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if the Frankenstein Agent of Shade was during the same time, because I'm pretty sure Lemire was on that run too. I thought he was. But
he did some Frankenstein too, but I don't know if they were there together. I don't know.
Maybe like one was before the other, which maybe that's why I remember them together. But I know like he did like some Suicide Squad, and he did like the JSA. He did like an 80-page giant for them. He has like one book that I think it began as a Kickstarter. I think it's called Mind Management. And oh, it's yeah, currently really like long. On issue 35. I haven't started reading it, but you know, Mark at the Nation of Nerds and Andrew speak highly of Valiant. So this week I took a jump on reading some. So I did order, and you saw a few books. I showed you some pictures today that I'm jumping into. And some of them are his books. It's really interesting just to see people's fire for these things that he created or helped advance that, you know. It's really cool. And I used to be like a huge DC fan. Well, I mean, I still am, and I'm also a Marvel fan, but to read these, and these are like fresh characters to me. Like they, you know, like you can jump on with them and feel like you're part of it. Like, you know, a lot, like, you know, like Batman, you're not going to remember everything Batman's done and all that knowledge. You could do that with this. The universe is pretty sweet. Honestly.
Yeah. It's a smaller universe, which gives you the opportunity to jump on. And like I said, modern versions of these characters, he's had his fingertip on them all. He only did one Bloodshot book, Bloodshot Zero. But like you said, Lemire then came in and did a lot of Bloodshot. And I'm sure they discussed a lot of stuff. So even then, I guarantee you, unofficially, he may have had an impact on that book. So, yeah.
Well, you know, they had like beers together. And talked about that.
And talked about some directions for the book and the overall idea for the whole universe. Yeah.
Because if there's anyone that writes as many books as Jeff Lemire, it's like a Matt Kent, so.
Right, a lot of stuff. And yeah, he just finished, like I said, Harbinger Wars. And that was done really well. He does a good job. He understands all the characters enough that he's the one that's perfect for writing the events when they have to come together. He's, you know, done so much with each character individually that he understands them. And even in the small moments that he uses them, they shine because he knows the essence of those characters. Big fan. Big fan of Matt Kent. And he's a pretty good artist.
Yeah, I can see why after jumping on to the Valiant stuff this week. I can see why. It's really good.
Excellent. So speaking of this week, what else have you read this week?
Well, speaking of this week, I've read a couple of Valiant trades. I read like Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe. That book was like completely action packed. It was nice. It was good. I think this one was written by Elliot Rahal that does Hot Lunch Special, and he does Quantum and Woody. Mm-hmm. I like the guy's writing style, and I've seen this week as well as he said he's moving away from his day job and it seems to me he's hinting that he's going freelance. So I can't wait to see his name on more books because I enjoy his work. I started reading the current run of Quantum and Woody. The volume one, I completed it. That book is funny. It's really cool. I like, you know, it has like inside jokes in it. It's witty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, the goat. Yeah, the goat is, if you read that book and we just mentioned goat, you know what we're talking about. I read Aphrodite 5 with Brian Edward Hill. It's good. I think it's got one more issue. That was one of the first books I read, so I don't really necessarily remember it all because after that book, I read Justice League 8, and that book's deep. I had to take a break off after it. Actually, I think I started to read Olivia Twist, and too many deep books back-to-back is not a good thing. I had to take a break. I read Nightwing 49. I finally caught up on Nightwing before, and I like what's happening there. I mean, we all know what's going to happen in the future, or we assume that we're going to know. But I like that book a lot more than Superman 3, which I also caught up on this week. That book, don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Superman fan. Superman is my favorite character. If you ask Andrew, I like Superman and Captain America. He says I like the Boy Scouts. You know, I like the do-gooders. I like those guys. Black Hammer, Age of Doom, I also read. I thought it was okay. I liked it. I liked the intensity that like Golden Gale had in that book and the fire and the anger she had because that's exactly how I would picture somebody after finding out certain things happened to him. And I enjoyed that book. X-Men Blue, I caught up on. Infinity Soldier Supreme, I read. That was interesting. Oh, I read Vagrant Queen 3 and 4 by Mags Visaggio. That was pretty. I like that book. I like the writing that she has. It's interesting to me. It's kind of, you know, a little spacey kind of. Were you reading that book?
No, I haven't read that book. I've read Kim and Kim, but I've never read Vagrant Queen.
To me, it's kind of like a little Star Wars-y Indiana Jones type feel. It's a fun book, especially like the dialogue that she gives, like the characters is funny because it's kind of like how she trolls people on Twitter. Like you read Dazzler, yes. Right? And you saw like the dialogue she had in there. It kind of translates over to this book. I think that's like her thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, Kim and Kim has a lot of that too.
Let's see. Do I have anything else? Oh, I read this book called Invasion from Wrestle Planet. It's a smaller publisher. I don't have the book near me, but I think I posted a picture on Twitter today. And that book is fun. It's kind of like a throwback to 80s, like wrestling. Like it's like the talking, the dialogue, everything. It's so like everything about this book is like, just brings me back to me growing up and like Hulk Hogan saying brother all the time and stuff like that. and it finds out that this character kind of creates his own galaxy belt, but he does it out of a pizza box and he kind of goes like all Stone Cold Steve Austin, like he doesn't give a damn and stuff, and he's walking around. It's really cool book. I bought the second one too. I haven't jumped into that one, but it's a cool book. I really like that book. Of course, I read Batman Damned, but I'm not gonna talk about No Wang. We talked about that at the beginning of the podcast. And let's see. One last one. Did I say X-Men Blue?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Then I have just this last one by Aftershock. It was called Patience, Conviction, Revenge. Number 1. I read that book. It was funny. There's this robot in there. He's absolutely funny, but the concept, it's a little weird. And I think it might be, and coming from me, it might be too weird for me. But maybe it's, but I'm not a really robot person either, and it's kind of has the feel like Mad Maxy with like robots, and it was I don't know. Maybe I'm just reading too many weird books that I just can't fit this one in.
Well, a couple things that came to my mind as you talked about your pull is I haven't read the new Superman because I moved Superman from my LCS pull to my DCBS pull because it kind of, like you, I'm not digging it too much. I haven't got to the point where I'm completely dropping it, but its importance in my reading pile has dropped. So I don't get those books till much later. So that's not in my Wednesday through Saturday read list. Did you mention Lost City Explorers? I haven't read that yet either, but when you were talking Aftershock, you didn't mention it. Have you read that?
No. One just arrived today for me. So I haven't jumped into it, but I've heard rumors that it's pretty good. And I think it only has one more issue after this one? So
that's one I'm looking forward to read that I haven't read. Let's see. I read The Nightwing as well. It's too bad we're not going to get what was probably intended because they're changing course and they're changing creators. It's pretty good. It's an interesting portrayal of Nightwing. I read part of Batman Damned. I haven't quite finished. I've just been really occupied with some other things this week and I wasn't able to get to my non-review comics. So I've read a lot of indies because there were possible comics that were going to be on our list that didn't quite make it. Like I also read Black Hammer. I felt it was a good issue to kick into the next phase of what Black Hammer is going to be. On its own, it maybe just, you know, it just was like, okay. But like you said, there was the anger. There's more of like kind of an explanation of what happened, why this happened. So it was okay. But it's kicking off the next phase of whatever Black Hammer is going to be. So that was it. I read Burnouts. Okay. The idea is interesting. If you're into stoner comics, I guess you'll really like it.
If you're like what is it, like Seth Rogen movies or like – it kind of reminded me of that movie like Paul. You know what I'm talking like?
Oh yeah,
like that, or kind of like the Simon Pegg movie, like Shaun of the Dead, but with aliens.
Yeah.
So it wasn't for me either. I forgot that I read that one too.
Yeah. So there's a few like that I read that didn't quite hit the mark, but yeah, it was a slower week for me. I have a lot of books to catch up on that I haven't read. But
did you feel like Nightwing kind of feels a little bit like Wacky Races?
Yeah.
Like that type of feel?
And Nightwing was almost a touch too silly for me. I like the story, but he was almost a touch, almost too goody-goody. You know what right. I mean? Like, I know you're trying to make that he's the good guy versus Batman, but he was almost too goody-goody.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on, Nightwing has a little bit of darkness, just a touch. I mean, living with Batman all those years, you got to pick up a little darkness. So I need to read Justice League. That's one that's at the top that I haven't read. And yeah, and I don't even know what else came out this week.
I know my order arrived today, so I got like a ton of X-Men books. Like I think X-Men Gold, Mr. and Mrs. X, I got that came today.
I know what I haven't read. I haven't read West Coast Avengers.
Oh, that came today too.
I need to read that, and I have not read the new Wolverine book.
That came today too. Yeah, so. Like most of my Marvel stuff, just like yours, comes through DCBS. So we have to wait a bit. We don't have access, say, like Chris does.
But yeah. So sorry, we apologize. I definitely apologize for not having enough reading done to add to this segment. And without Chris here, we are lacking our Marvel. He will be back next week, though, with a bunch of surprises.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely miss him this week because sometimes he could, you know, we could get going and clown around more, but.
Yeah.
We've all got like a lot of things going on right now, so you know, we're actually a day late recording too, so
Yeah, we'll get it out as soon as possible. Yeah. Soldier on, I guess.
Right.
Keep at it. And it was fun. It was fun to get on here and talk about comics and not think about some of the real world shit.
Right.
Or, oops, I just made our thing explicit.
beep.
beep. And yeah, and talk about comics because there was some great books, and I plan to get to those other books tonight and tomorrow.
Because this is a great way to escape from reality. Sometimes it's just diving into these books.
All right, guys. Well, I guess we're going to call it a night. Once again, I am Andrew. You can find me at Real Comics, RealComics on Twitter. You can find our show at Street Level Floppy, Street LVL Floppy. We are available for download on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. We can be heard on YouTube, all these different places to listen to us. Please subscribe, comment if you like what you hear, leave us a review. All these things really help, and we really appreciate it. And we appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to us talk about comics. Fred, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ComicsFred. You can find Chris at Panels_Hoodies. And also, you know, if you like our reviews and things to that nature, you can check out Comic Book Corpse or Comic Book Core, not Corpse. I don't know why I say that
sometimes too.
And then the Nation Nerd Podcast with Mark, Rico, Leo, and Hiram, which we are a part of.
I got to throw something out that I meant to throw out, but I was so passionate about my Skyward. Yes, if you are a fan of Skyward, you need to go to the Nation of Nerds podcast, as they just had a great chat with the creator of Skyward.
Joe Henderson.
And I totally meant to add that in there and I forgot. Maybe I'll edit it in. We'll figure it out. But you should go check it out because it's a great chat. An opportunity to hear some more from somebody if you like this book as much as I like this book. Yeah, definitely. Well, I guess that's it, Fred. Go ahead and send us out.
Yes. Just like the streets we call our home, show some love for the creator.